The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, Kingy, and...
Hello, Ben.
How are you?
Well, we do this with a heavy heart.
Yeah, we do. It's been a pretty tough week for those in the racing industry. Dean Holland, who... Yeah, look, it was shocking, actually.
You've got a connection to him, and our listeners might not know it's a fairly important connection in your racing story.
Yeah, so he probably provided me with, I think, arguably my favourite day or most memorable moment in sport in terms of my involvement with sport, not so much playing because you don't play racing, but when he won the Geelong Cup on Charlie Rose. So, and then he rode her in the Melbourne Cup. So, and that was during COVID, so it was a bit of a more difficult time. There wasn't the same sort of contact that you would normally have. But anyway, long story short, he's a really good fella, Dean. He was one of those people, you know, when somebody, you know, passes away in tragic circumstances, everybody sort of says, oh, he was a great bloke. He genuinely was, an easygoing bloke, always said hello, always had a little bit of time for you. And yeah, look, it was just goes to show how dangerous the horse racing caper is. I mean, it's the only sport where you're followed around by an ambulance. And it's not with racing, it's not so much the fall that that has the greatest impact. It's what comes over the top in terms of horses behind you. And I think, you know, in Dean's cases, it was, you know, just an unfortunate circumstance. We actually had a horse from our stable in the race that you know, half jumped over one of the horses that was laying on the ground. So it's just a brutally dangerous sport, and four young kids. And look, it's condolences to all his family. And his dad was a jockey, Darren Holland, back in South Australia. And yeah, look, he just was universally liked by the top tier jockeys, and the third tier. He was probably somewhere in the middle,
yep,
hoping to get to that top tier. And it's just a real stark reminder and puts life into perspective. So.
Can I ask you, Ben, you're obviously day-to-day in the racing industry. When that filters through that's happened, what's your reaction? What's your initial emotion?
Well, you feel sick.
Yeah.
You just feel sick because it's somebody that you know. It's not every day that Kingy, you know, you turn on the news and it's all bad news, you know, and something's happened here and something. It's not anybody that you generally have a direct connection with. So you say, oh, that's sad, and you sort of, you know, you move on quite quickly, whereas this is somebody that you know, and it you know, what I was watching the race, and you know, it was, yeah, look, it was tough. Just, you feel sick because you know, and just, you could tell by the wording of what was coming out on racing.com that something wasn't right, and I think the jockeys that were at the meeting were quite aware quite quickly that it was pretty catastrophic. So and yeah, look, it's just a sad and a good reminder to live your life to the fullest, because you never know. I mean, Dean drove to work that day and never went home, and four young kids, and his partner is it's just a devastating blow for the family. So I think they've Tony at Tobray is one of the big owners in Victorian racing.
He's got a
GoFundMe page. It's up to over $1 million.
As of an hour ago, so this is Thursday at 2:30, Ben. $1.271 million. One of the gambling outlets donated $50,000 today, as has Mitchell, McAvoy Mitchell Racing. The Jockeys Association's tipped in $20,000. RSN radio station's tipped in $5,000. So
Tony kicked in $100,000 to get it going to start with.
Jeebus.
So yeah, look, it's been they've been certainly been giving and generous, and I suppose it's just a testament to how much he was liked. I know he did ride a lot for the McAvoy camp,
yep,
and he's ridden quite a lot for the stable that I work for too, not to the same degree, but he's been involved with the stable for a long period of time, and I started 2.5 years ago, and he's been a regular rider for us. Mm. Across that whole 2.5 years.
So you'd have, as racing manager for Wild Racing, you'd have regular contact more with him?
Well,
more the manager.
I see him on race day.
Okay, yep.
But I did see him quite a bit when he was riding Charlie Rose, because he would come down to ride. I remember one day he came down, a rider at work at Tarang, and he'd been involved in a car accident on the way down where he got sideswiped by a truck, and it was he was this far away from being from being a really bad accident. He ended up losing his side mirror and the car was a bit damaged in front, but he just sort of dusted it off and did his thing. He wasn't one to sort of worry, and I think he had a little bit of, a bit of larrikin in him at times as well, especially when he was a bit younger, and just a likeable sort of personality, and gone too soon.
Yeah. Valet, Dean Holland. Talk footy, Ben. Thank you for your words, though, and I know it's been a tough week for all in the racing fraternity, but we turn our attention to something that puts a smile on our face, and that is football. And the Cats are putting a smile on their face at the moment. They certainly did Saturday night at GMHBA Stadium.
They did. Kingy, have you ever tooted your own horn? Have you? Have you ever been able to do that?
No. Right.
So, why are you laughing?
Because you're being an idiot.
No. What I was going to say...
Can you just have some reverence?
Yes, I do. What I was going to say is I don't do too much tooting.
Yep.
Particularly these days. But I'm going to toot my own honky and say, what did I say after Geelong got beaten by the Gold Coast?
They'd be 3-3.
No, I just said just relax. Let's just calm down.
I think we all said, and even I was on this, I think I've on the record saying wait till the end of April.
Yes.
Come back to me at the end of April.
But there were Geelong fans who were popping off early, weren't there?
Yeah, there was.
David King, I think, popped off early. Yeah, suggested the Cats were gone, cooked.
That's premature adjudication.
That
its
is,
best.
Yes. And there's nothing good happens when you're premature, Kingy, with anything. You've got to be able to sort of stay the course.
Have you ever seen Gary Delaney?
No.
He's the master of the one-liners.
Right.
He does a show. It's online. I highly recommend it. I'm not going to repeat it here, but go just
type. Is it fruity?
It's a little bit fruity. Yeah. but he's got something about... Yeah, premature in there. It's actually quite funny.
Quite humorous.
Yeah, it's very good.
Can Gary, you give us a little snifter of it?
No. I'll let him get the YouTube hits.
Okay. Well, they'll go up now.
Yeah, they will.
Let the fingers do the walking.
We didn't think that was going to happen on Saturday night. We knew the Swans were undermanned in terms of down back, no McCartans, no Rampy, Franklin up forward, no Hickey in the rucks.
Or Amati.
And Joel Amati obviously pulled a hamstring the week before in Adelaide.
But key forwards, yep. Three key defenders.
Yep.
And
yeah, but do Amati and Franklin play together? Possibly. They usually don't.
Well,
Amati usually only gets his opportunity when Franklin's out.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, it is a loss. And if Geelong probably got them at the right time and they certainly got hold of them, I'm not denying that.
How you get hold of them, though.
Yeah, 93 points. No one would have predicted that.
Yeah, if it was 8 goals, you go, well, yeah, that's probably the difference in talent between the two teams. This was more a chasm than a gap. Yeah, you've got chasm in there, Benny, you like that?
The old chasm.
Which has probably more questions being asked of Sydney than of Geelong.
Yes. Yeah, I agree, Kingy. I knew when Callum Mills went down to play on Tom Hawkins, I thought, hang on, I'll just check the fixture, check the old record, 186 or 188. And
198.
And, well, against... I think it was 106 kilos versus about 87 kilos. It was a little odd matchup given that Francis was in the team. I know they played him forward, but he couldn't get a kick. You would have thought that maybe he went on to Tom Hawkins, but it wouldn't have mattered. What I did like, Kingy, and I think we've sort of alluded to this a little bit across the six games, is if Geelong's midfield plays well, they will be very, very hard to beat against any competition.
Yep.
Any competition. I just think that their midfield this far in the six games has fluctuated.
Mm.
It found its feet against Sydney. I know he's played some really, really good games. I thought that was one of the best games I've seen Patrick Dangerfield play on Saturday night.
For Geelong, yes. Yeah. Yep.
He was actually really clean with the ball. Yep. He was hitting targets.
Kicked a nice goal.
I don't think he's going to replicate that every week, but his skill level... Was I reckon nearly at its absolute peak in any game I've seen him play for the Cats.
So 31 disposals and 14 contested of those.
But I think he was up at around about sort of
85.
23 to 25 effective disposals.
Yeah, yep, it was about 80%.
And hitting targets. So Atkins played a good role. Max Holmes played well. See, he's been up and down, Max Holmes, because they're trying to create a new role for him.
23 disposals for Max Holmes.
Very good. Atkins has been a little bit up and down. Defensive stuff has been good. Hasn't got a whole lot of the ball, but he got about 20, didn't he? 19 or 20?
Who's up?
Atkins.
16.
16. Cam Guthrie played a nice role.
Yeah, but 5 clearances for Atkins.
Yeah. So that's where he's doing some stuff offensively. He's always been good at the defensive side of the stuff with the tackling. So when those four, my concern, well, not a concern, Kingy, but is, you know, is Patrick Dangerfield, we're expecting him to be that every week for Geelong.
He's not.
And he won't be, I don't think.
No.
That's probably, you know, we need players like Parfitt, who's not in the side, to come in and play well. We need, you know, Tanner Bruin to get back into the team and start playing, pushing these guys. Mm. Because I think if you're going to – because Max Holmes is going to have up-and-down games with the new role.
Until he finds his feet.
Yeah, he's
– I think he's going to be a very good footballer, Benny.
100% he will be. Yeah. 100%. And his kicking has improved.
Well, there's
over time.
A reason why Geelong wanted to go up the draft order.
Yes, and they've been justified in that. He's trending towards being a very, very good player. But right now, I think he's going to have games where he's quiet.
Mm.
He's probably another couple of years away from being a genuine, consistent gun midfield, inside mid.
So that would take him to about 75 games.
Having played possibly two and a half, three years of inside mid.
Yep.
That's right. So up until that point, I think you were going to see poor games from him or quiet games from him. And that's just part of the growing process. And I think as time goes, the gap then between his best and his worst will decrease. Mm. And then you'll find that in 3 years, his bad games are still pretty good games. But he's not there yet. So we expect Holmes is going to be up and down. Dangerfield is, what, 30 what?
Three.
Three. And then you've got Tommy Atkins, who's more of a... You know, he's a bit of a bull. He's not aesthetically, he doesn't do anything that blows your hair back, but he plays an important role, but he's not an offensive juggernaut. I thought, this is where Kingy, would you, after watching Saturday night, and I know he was only playing against Laddams, but do you think that Mark Blitzarv, do you think the Cats would be better if Mark Blitzarv plays in the ruck?
No. Now, I still think you need the option of, because if you're running Blitzarves in the ruck and not playing Stanley or Segler, then you're throwing to Koning, who is, you know, if he was at a yearling sale, you'd be playing seven figures for.
Yeah.
I don't think you want him in there.
You don't want
crashing.
I couldn't believe that they had Koning in the
well,
ruck.
Well, they did. Well, where else were they going to go? Because you don't want Radigalia going there right now, because Radigalia needs to settle into playing down back. We know De Koning can play the role that he can play. So I would think there's a reticence to push him up, Radigalia up the ground. You're better off keeping him there and continuing to work on his craft. And watching him, the way he's evolved in 6 weeks and the confidence he's got, he's actually a lot of fun to watch
at
the moment.
I just don't. I don't know. I don't want either of them. I mean, if it was me, I'd actually throw Radigalia into the ruck for a few minutes if that's what you need, someone just to pinch hit, because he actually likes the physical contact and he's more athletic. I couldn't believe that Sam De Koning was playing in the ruck. I hope that's not the ploy that they continue, because I've already seen two Geelong ruckmen get injured in the ruck.
Yep.
You don't want Sam De Koning getting injured playing the ruck when he is a 10-year. Gun key defender.
Yeah, all you need is a knee on knee or something like that, and you're in a world of hurt.
I just thought Blitzarv's. I think Blitzarv showed that his best two positions are ruck or defence.
Yep. What about the 26?
He's slowly starting to find a bit of form. Especially playing on a bloke that's come up from the under 12s. That helps. But he looks like he's slowly finding his feet. You know, Mitch Duncan was probably. Didn't have his best game, but was okay. They all played well, Kingy.
It was an even team performance.
Do you know who? I'm going to do some horn tuning again here.
The eight.
No, well I've been on him. Yeah, I've been on him, and just rewind the tape. I've been on him since day dot.
I know.
There's another one that I've been on. The Cat fans are
37.
I'm glad Sam Simpson got a game, and I thought he played well.
He was very solid.
Hopefully he stays in the side. Yeah, he just needs to get some game. Like, he just needs to play a block of games. That's what he needs. No, give me another one who I've maintained for a long period of time, not just this year, but for a long period of time, that he is a very key player to Geelong who is much maligned. And I even was talking to somebody today, yesterday.
The 39?
Darren Milburn. Graham Landy. Kevin Higgins.
Yes, Kevin Higgins. The late, great Kevin Higgins wore 39.
He did. No, Grian Myers.
Oh, the 32.
Yes. He has been, I reckon, one of Geelong's most consistent players this year.
Mm.
And I was talking to somebody who...
He hasn't kicked a goal, which is interesting.
No, he hasn't, but he leads the league in goal assists.
He does. Actually, the top two are Geelong players. Dangerfield's number two.
I just think his game is so suited, and I've had... You know, people say, oh, he's not tough and he does this and he... Well, that's not his go. Like, that's not his...
Lady strength.
That's not his role. His role is to get up and down the ground, which he does unbelievably well. And do you know what? I think his kicking style, albeit is very awkward at times, it makes him so unpredictable because he suddenly just kicks it like literally around the corner off the right, and he can really... set the defence on their heels because he's such a... It's not an easy kick to read. And I think it actually really works for him. He's had a full pre-season. And I maintained that last year that he was key, and he came good towards the end of the year after missing the pre-season. And I just think, you know, Cat fans who have...
Closing in 100 games.
Who have been on him, you know, on him in terms of wanting him out of the team and he doesn't do this and that and all this sort of rah-rah. I think they're starting to pick... that egg off their craniums. Mm. Well, I hope that.
89 games now.
Have you ever picked an egg off your cranium?
No, I haven't, Benny. Can Jeremy Cameron...
No. Kick 100 goals? No.
No?
No. Not a snowflake's
chance in hell. So if he continues at the average he's going...
No.
Can't see it over 23 games?
100... No chance.
No chance?
Zero chance.
Be nice, though.
We win the Coleman, it'd be nice.
Yeah, it would be.
I was on him last year.
How many times has Hawkins won the... I think he's won 11 consecutive Geelong goal kickings, Tom Hawkins. I think from 12 to last year. I think Podsy Adley won it in 2011.
And then, well, this year he's got some...
I think he's in trouble.
Well, it would be... Don't be...
It's 27.
It's a long way to go, King. They've only just left the gates.
It's 27-14. It is a Melbourne Cup sort of run, isn't it?
Yes, and there's a long, long, long way to go.
They've just come out of the home straight for the first time.
Yes, and they're just jockeying for position. So I don't think he can kick 100. Look, I'd love to see him kick 100, but I just don't think it's going to happen in today's footy.
You reckon if he does get to that point, you know, well, you throw... Well, okay, Benny, 23 games. Let's say the Cats play two finals. That gets him to 25 games. Mm. Is the door open in the finals, depending on how deep Geelong go?
He'd want to... Oh, yeah, if you add two finals, if you added three finals in there... I think you probably consider it. You might.
If he did it on grand final day?
Would you be able to run on?
Probably not.
What would happen there?
I reckon it's happened in a final a couple of times. Kappa kicked his 100th in a final.
Kappa.
In 87. And I reckon Larry Donoghue might have kicked his 100th.
In a final?
In a final. I reckon he did it in an elimination final.
Do you know that the sign at the Winchelsea pub used to say, come and have one with the man that kicked the ton?
Yeah, have one with the one that kicked the ton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Let me just...
I think Larry was having more than one.
Let me have a look here. All-time playing list, Geelong. He wore the number 23.
Yeah.
Let's see. I reckon Laz kicked his 100th in a final. I reckon it was against the Dogs in 76. This is a very random guess. So let's guess.
You know the year the team it was against. That's not random. You've looked this up.
No.
You've pretending to do research when you've looked this up prior.
Well, you've got to look it up to do research, Ben. He kicked the ton in the elimination final. Kicked four that day, and then he kicked two in the semi, loss to North Melbourne.
Yeah, well, look, let's hope so, but I just don't see it happening over the course of a long season. I mean, you'll have winter games, and the games are 10-7, and... But anyway, love to be proven wrong.
Oh, absolutely. Tom? Yes, Benjamin.
What else have we got?
You want some questions?
Yeah.
All right, let's work. Wait, we're very, very busy this week. Let's start with Howler 41. Mm-hmm. Best win of the season, the midfield dominance is the highlight for me. Our mids outworked theirs. With no real ruckman, this made it all the better. Wanted to highlight a couple of real team effort players. Twice in the first quarter, O'Connor laid shepherds for teammates, which is rare to see these days. Generally, players want the glory in the ball. O'Connor is team first and was glad to see this.
Yeah, I thought that was his best game. He's another one that's had a, I don't know, what would you say, up and down, a bit of a scratchy sort of start to the year. Mm. Why are you laughing, Tom?
Our tackling was on all night. Close rundown tackle on the wing was tectonic plate shifting sort of stuff.
Wow.
Who would have thought tectonic plate would get a mention? Such was the movement downstairs. Hawk is back, moving much better, and he's kicking.
Is that what he refers to it as, his tectonic plate?
Yeah. Like his mate Jethro is spot on. Myers once again had a great first half, setting up two of the first three goals, leading the comp in goal assists. I had to look this up because I thought an assist was something a doctor had to remove. I reckon Jack Colajasny's last five games have been career best. Certainly the prelim grand last week and this, he's picked his moments well. Great to have Simpson back. Busy worker, zips around, provides pressure. Think he's, if he stays healthy, he's in the best 22. Back at level pegging 3-3 with a two-day break on the Bombers. He's hoping Buse is good to go. I haven't heard, Chris Scott's media conference was this morning, but I haven't caught up with any news from it, but the teams will come out a little bit later. Views will be interesting. The Bombers is an interesting proposition coming off a five-day break. Get Zach Merritt
get
back.
Get them at a good time, Kingy. Yeah, Merritt, 5 days.
Merritt back.
They fell into an abyss. They fell into what you described as a chasm in that last quarter against Collingwood. Mm-hmm. And the Collingwood fans were having, I think you'd have, like, if you put awe in front of the chasm, that's what they were doing in the final quarter. Mm-hmm. But Geelong get Essendon at exactly the right time. So perfect. Timing is everything in a lot of things, Kingy. As long as you get into a nice solid rhythm, mm-hmm. and it can compensate for a lot of other shortcomings, and the Cats hopefully get into a nice rhythm on Sunday.
Gents, nice ninja edits in the last podcast, Kingy, from Daz Broncos. What are you talking about, Daz? No ninja edits there. Great call last week in getting the full version from start to finish on carrockfootball.live is magic. It's like getting to read all the letters from Paul to the Corinthians rather than just the short bits. Love also the relationship between K-Rock and the club. You can tell me tell the players actually enjoy the interviews and questions rather than the stock standard stuff others roll out. Getting Toma for 16 minutes post-game is brilliant. I didn't realise we had him for that. I knew we had him for a while.
Was it 16 minutes?
Because he extrapolates.
He what?
He extrapolates.
Is that what his wife said? No, he's good. He's very good. Yeah. Good fella. And yeah, he sort of thinks about it a bit. I think he gets it. He knows that. Yeah. And he enjoys. I mean, we don't. Well, that's why I try and ask. I mean, I know you know.
Try to be a bit more personal.
Well, just try, yeah, because I'm...
Personality question.
I think we hear enough of that, and I'm not a massive fan. I think there's certainly a time and a place for it, but I'm not a huge fan of the real hardcore footy talk. I mean, I know people would laugh and say, well, that's what we're doing here, but I like something, you know, a bit left of centre. You might get a response you don't expect. Mm. Shows a little bit of the personality of... Yeah. Like even getting Jack Bowes on it, he's telling us that his mum gave him a heated doona and...
Which we can run with for the rest of the year.
And he's, you know, his partner's come down, she's a dietitian, and the club have been really good at facilitating all that. And, you know, he hasn't got a dog yet, but he likes his coffee shop. Just little things that just puts a bit of a human touch to the player, because I think we... And that's why, I mean, obviously Nealty is, you know, good at the footy side of it, but I think we sort of hear enough of that. Yep. So a bit of a balance. And Tom gets that, and he enjoys that side of it too, I think. Yep.
Deconing in the ruck, kind of like Elle McPherson in her 70s. You know you want to see it and look long and hard, but then get that's enough and no more please, as there has to be better options. Oh, wow. With the exploding amount of 200
centimetres. Better options than Elle McPherson?
No, when she's in her 70s.
I don't know that there will be, to be honest.
With the exploding amount of 200... Yeah, we'll move on, Benny.
She's ageless.
Mm. The game, we can't risk our best and only 200-plus KPD in the ruck, so I don't think they want DeConing in the ruck. I get he can do it, and his skills around the ball on the ball were insane. That 20-metre handball on the left hand that cleared the congestion and led to closest goal was majestic in the extreme. And if Benny wasn't firming in the Murray Rants after Holmes' inability to handball on his left, as he pointed out last week, then this had to just make him excited.
Yes, I was very excited with Max Holmes, and I really like what they're doing with him. And he along with Bruin... they're the future for Geelong. Jai Clark is another one. That's their future midfield, and it's great that they're able to get some games alongside or some experience, not just games, but years alongside the likes of Dangerfield and Guthrie and even Tom Atkins to a degree, who's a sort of harder sort of body. Mm. It's great to be able to have that without being the... You know, sometimes those kids come into... they get drafted high to a team that's crap, and then they go in and they're expected to be... top of the pops. There's no one underneath them. There's no... Yep. Whereas these guys at Geelong, and we saw it with, you know, going back with Selwood, was able to come into a team that had Ablett and Bartel and Chapman and Johnson. He was able just to play a role, and I think that's great for your development when the expectation isn't all on you.
Yep. Keep an eye on...
You had a glint in your eye there, Tom, have you?
Me?
Yeah.
About?
I don't know. You just sort of look like you were... I don't know. It looked like you were just sort of like you had a bit of a glint in your eye that you were... Why is that?
No, I've got no idea.
What's happened?
No, nothing. Keep an eye on Clahessy in the VFL. Kid can play and put his head right over it. And it looks like Shannon Neal will re-sign.
4 years. End of 2025.
Yeah, so that'll be 2 years.
That's really good. Yeah. Really good news.
2 and 4 is a bit of a difference, Benny.
No, I don't know. It's 2025, so we've got him for another couple, which gives them... gives them a chance to work on him. You would think that that would then see out Tom Hawkins. And then
do you reckon he plays two more? Or?
No, I think he plays, well, I don't know, but I'd say one more at least. And then that would be it. He brought 36.
Somebody did raise the interesting question last week. Whether Hawk pulls stumps at 355. And
you did?
Finished.
Was that you?
No, I don't think somebody. No, I reckon.
There's no way.
Reckon Hawk actually raised that himself about how long he could go for. And
no, he started talking about something that I didn't know anything about. Someone doing it. Was it cricket?
Yeah, so Mark Taylor was declared on 300. He was captain of Australia. He was on 334, which was Don Bradman's highest test score, and to that point was the highest score by an Australian in a test match. It's been beaten. Matty Hayden made 400 against Zimbabwe. And Taylor declared on, because he goes, I just couldn't see myself taking a record off Don Bradman.
There you go.
It's a probably an interesting, like, look, you know, if Geelong weren't contending next year, which they likely will be, but if Hawke goes, we're not contending, we're not playing finals, that would be, I wouldn't be surprised. Knowing him, that might be something he actually does.
At his age, you want to be playing in a team that is contending.
Yep.
You're not hanging around to finish 15th, and then that's when the club probably doesn't want you hanging around because they can get some games into a kick.
So he's at 333 now. He's still going to play at least, let's say, 15 games this year. They'd have to drop off the cliff, the Cats. You wouldn't be pulling the pin at round 7 next
year.
There's
no way known he's doing that.
No.
He's not going to play and say, look, I'm only going to play 6 games, get to this record, then I can't play anymore because, like, that would just be absolutely absurd.
He hasn't missed since the 2019 preliminary final.
A shot at goal?
No. A game, you dope.
No, he's been hardy and durable.
Yep. Fox Dog 50. Kingy, Benny Cass actually reminds me a bit like Homer Simpson. I mean, with this all love, he starts talking about a subject that you were talking about, then all of a sudden he sees a box of donuts and completely changes the subject.
We do like to do that.
If you ever have Andrew Mackey or Stephen Wells on the radio before a game, can you ask him if they are looking for the next Mark Blitzarves? Are the teams out there in the competition so jealous of us that we can have a player that can play in 4 different positions and is good at playing wherever he gets told to play?
He's good. It's a real conundrum with... Well, not really, I suppose, but I just watching it on Saturday night, and you don't want to fall in love with something after seeing it just for one game, but I don't know. If for whatever reason, Stanley goes down... Okay, I'll ask you this question, Key. Stanley's up and firing, okay? He's probably playing in the ruck. If it's Segler having to play and he's struggling a little bit, do you think that they would not play Segler and just play Blitzarves in the ruck if Stanley was out? Do you think that's a possibility? Or do you think they're just set on having either Stanley or Segler playing?
No, one of them's got to play.
Well, I don't know about that.
We'll wait and see. Stanley obviously out for a while. Segler.
The socket. The socket set.
Ties are 7-9-11. I reckon I've mentioned this before, so apologies for the double up. Wondering if with the change in rights this year, if there's a possibility of a podcasted post-game start to finish. Enjoy the call via the new live stream, but lose the post-game in the celebration / leaving the ground. So a single podcast, not broken up like it is now, would be lovely. I have to have a talk to our gurus about that. We had another question too about people at krockfootball.live on the Android phones. This is from Dino, our engineer at the station, as opposed to Davey Collins, who's our engineer at the ground.
Dean Gray.
I've asked a few Android owners to check background audio playback of krockfootball.live, and they have reported it works correctly. Here's an article that describes what settings to change on the handset if your device doesn't play audio in the background. So I might post that link at some stage. I think it was Singapore Cat that might have been asking about that. But that's from our guru, Dean Gray, who is an Apple man, obviously, if he's not au fait with Android.
Is there something about technician to Carrick, you have to start, your name has to start with D?
Yes, there's been a few over the journey.
Remember the one
we had on.
What was his name, Com?
No. Foxdog 50, is there any news on regarding pausing live commentary yet? At this stage, no, but it is being filed away. Flogwater, gentlemen, thank you for your work so far this season. The new Carrick Football Live site is an improvement to the listening experience. Under the new rights arrangement, are you allowed to make a full recording of a game available after it's finished, whether that's on the Carrick Football website, the podcast, an app, or some other option? Surely there's a way of doing that, so now we can use the recording for any commercial purpose that would upset the AFL. Got to find out that. I still think we're a bit limited. It is a delight to listen to Benny mention many things, such as the Peter Street stand. a Mick Schultz defensive punch, a high Mick Mansfield floater. It would be even better to hear these gems after the stress of a match day has passed. If the full games can be released, some listeners will refresh at a rate of knots and might end up nude.
Do you know, Kingy? So
I actually brought the Peter Street stand-up last week. You hadn't mentioned it yet.
No, I hadn't mentioned it because I went down to coach my coaching capacity.
Because Peter's now involved at St. Joseph's
football club
as an assistant.
And he was the opposition coach. But he doesn't know who I am, which is absolutely fantastic.
He knows who I am.
Yeah, which so don't tell him who I am because he had no idea. And it was good because I was thinking...
No. Next time you're up at St. Joseph's, how was Anzac Day, Bernie,
by the way?
It was
very, very good, yes.
Did you enjoy St. Joey's win?
I refreshed quite wildly up there, Kingy. It was a very good game of local football.
It was a good
game. Good players on both. Good young players on both sides.
There's a young kid that wore number 15 for South Barwon called Rowan Goff.
He's on the Geelong list, isn't he?
He's Geelong VFL list. Yeah. Very lanky. Louis Antonak played some sort of game, who's also on the Geelong VFL list.
I was very impressed, Kingy.
Did you see he had the streamlined hair? So Louis usually runs with the sort of the, you know... He's had the buzz cut. Do you know why? Because he lost out in the spin the wheel at the club, and it was either fork out 50 or go and get the
and
short back and sides.
And he's an absolute tightwad, is he?
No, I don't know, but he
fork out 50 bucks,
you have to
pay or get your hair
cut. Yeah.
Wow. So you surely just fork out the 50 if you're that fond of your locks.
Well, he's obviously not that fond of them. He must have gone... Oh, he's done it himself.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because, like, it's... You know, the younger generation...
blames the one before.
Girls and boys. Like they, no, they, do you know that every generation laments what the previous generation missed?
Yeah.
What they think they've missed?
Yeah.
But the younger.
You didn't get the line that you just every generation, I said, blames the one before.
Yes.
You know where that's from?
No.
Mike and the Mechanics.
Right.
Living years.
Right. Mike and the Mechanics.
That was Mike Rutherford, I think, from Genesis. It was his little side project while Phil Collins was off doing something else. Pretty sure. Somebody will correct me.
Do you think it's a bit weird, though, Kingy, that in the modern day... I walked in here today.
You walk in here most times.
I did. Would you say that the number of weirdos is on the up or on the down?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, there are that many weirdos in this world. There was a guy out there, and he was the most unathletic person I have ever seen, right? Right up there.
Right.
And he had on a black... He had black tracksuit pants on. He had a black tracksuit top on. He had these horrific basketball sort of ankle-high shoes on. He had a NBA basketball cap on. And he had headphones over the top. And I just felt like just going over and just saying no.
No. Do you know what you...
No more of that. Right. Please do not come outside dressed like that. There's just... The weirdo factor is going bananas out there. And what I was going to say, Kingy, do you think that it's weird that the younger generation, they love hair in different positions than they used to?
Right.
Do you think that?
I've never thought of it. I'm moving on, Benny.
No, especially boys and girls, they love like big mops.
Yeah.
Big mops.
Mullets.
On the top story.
Yeah.
And floorboards on the bottom.
Right.
Do you think that, though?
No,
that's what happens in this world, Tom.
Give it no thought. Ben.
Yeah.
Right, Cool Cat 75. Anyone else notice how similar the voices of Ben Casanelia and Mark Neild sound like on radio? While one is entertaining, verbose, and amusing, the other thoughtful, analytical, and wise. I'm not convinced this is not the same person impersonating two different people, 12th man style.
Billy Birmingham.
And then Tizza says, it's just Cass and his much more sensible alter ego.
Yes.
The wedding cake joke on the weekend wasn't bad, though. Must give credit where it's due.
Yes. That is.
Can you tell the wedding cake joke?
Well, it's not really a joke. It's more just that
an observation.
Yeah, scientists have found a food that really dampens your sex drive. It's called wedding cake, which is 100% true, isn't it?
Right. That's us.
What sort of cake did you have, Kingy? Did you have your cake and eat it too?
No, my wedding cake was, I think, a white chocolate mud cake, maybe.
Did it work for you, that, though?
I'm not touching that, Benny. I'm not touching anything.
Does the lovely listen to the podcast?
No, she doesn't.
Never.
No, I think she's got more. Because do you know why? Because she knows you're involved.
Well, that's what. What do you mean?
She blames me for all my ills at home, or blames you for all my ills at home.
No, come on. That's a little harsh.
Come home.
That's a little harsh.
Come home saying stupid things.
Like what? Like Takashi. Old Takashi, if you haven't seen Revenge of the Nerds, yeah. And Takashi's playing cards with Booger, and he asks him what he's...
No, no. Ben, we're done. I'm looking forward to Sunday, 11 o'clock,
and do you know,
on air.
Booger had 2 sevens.
He did, I know. We're going. Goodbye, Ben.
Right, yeah, bye. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.